Your Cavaliers in Atlanta to play the Hawks tonight, and your Browns, of course, getting ready for the Chargers with Josh Gordon back. Mike Snyder Sports in 4 minutes.
The pregame show for your day. Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder on News Radio WTAM 1100.
It is Wills' Ways to Save. Matt Granite, Channel 3's Morning News is in. I just check this out. If you go to WTAM.com, keyword save, you can see what Matt's talking about. Your buddy Cody, I know, is helping on this. We love technology. Normally, the company that gets there first is the one we think of, and then somebody else comes along and, you know, tinkers a bit with the idea and improves it, and the price point's important. So tell me about the deal today.
Yeah, and I think you're referring to, dare I say, GoPro?
Yes.
big comeback.
Yes.
And we're not going the GoPro route today because I can save you a lot more money and get you a virtually identical product. This is interesting. So we reached a point where when I was doing this about 10 or 11 years ago, one of the top trending holiday gifts was a digital camera.
Mm-hmm.
Then the camera was, of course, replaced by the smartphone. No one wants a digital camera.
You know how old Christmas. You just sounded with a digital camera mentioned? But that's okay. We'll move on.
No, I like that. I sound more distinguished for once in my life. They're like, wait, was he 12? Anyhow, enough about me. So we had that request.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, there was the push for the flip cam.
Right.
I mean, you guys remember what that was.
Right.
Then that was, of course, replaced by the cell phone, the smartphone, the video camera capability. Now a lot of people are actually, in my opinion, migrating toward GoPro and other HD action cams because they're not only smaller than smartphones, but they cost a lot less if the thing breaks. You can also mount it.
Mm-hmm.
You can, in many ways, capture more beautiful footage. These are meant to capture video. Your smartphone is, it's fine on photos. It's great on certain photos. This is better for video.
For video, it's
for the holidays.
Quality,
Yeah, and people looking for that quality on the holidays. A lot of people looking to capture beautiful Christmas lights, sweeping images of things outside. A lot of people outdoors, vacations, they're waterproof. And the solution today that I found looks like a GoPro, shoots like a GoPro, except instead of spending $400, I got you in at $43.
Love it.
Big fan. Comes with 16 different accessories. It's obviously not a paid product. We don't care whether or not you buy it. But it mounts, it has all of the attachments, great for all weather. It is submersible up to 98 feet, and you can watch the test in the video we shot, WTAM.com, keyword save, usually 90, today 43.
Even through your speaker on whatever you're watching the thing on, you'll be able to tell about the audio quality as well. It's good stuff. Matt Granite's done all the work and the research. A couple of clicks, you'll have the deal for you at WTAM.com, keyword save. Tomorrow, something on, at least the price point tomorrow you will love, and the item I think you will love too, because Granite knows what you want when it comes to a deal. Watch him on 3 this morning. Back here same time in the morning. Thanks, Matt.
Awesome.
Bill Wills, good morning. You get Mike Snyder Sports. Mornings, 15 and 45 past. Morning, pal.
Good morning, Bill. Well, if anything, Josh Gordon's return has been a diversion to the Browns' brutal 0-11 season. Really, what else is there to say right now as the Browns finish out this year? Well, Gordon has provided much more conversation, and certainly what we've seen of him on the field in a glimpse, he is impressive. He will always take your breath away when you get him in uniform on the football field. But some of the stories of his life also take your breath away. And Hugh Jackson was asked about the recent story in Sports Illustrated in which he reveals drug dealing and armed robbery as part of his youth. And Hugh had this to say.
You know, obviously, there's nothing good that comes from those things. But again, that's in Josh's past. And hopefully, you know, that's all we're here from that.
And as far as his teammates go, veteran linebacker Christian Kirksey believes in him.
I have no doubt in my mind that he'll go out there just like he never left. I think that Josh is very dedicated to the game and dedicated to coming back and making sure he's the biggest spark that he can be, the best player that he can be. And I have full faith in him that he'll go out there and, you know, be the Josh Gordon that we all know.
Well, to this point, he has not been dedicated to the game, but, we're going to find out Sunday as he will be out there when the Browns take on the Chargers. 4:05 kickoff. NFL week starts tonight with the Redskins in Dallas to meet the injury-riddled Cowboys. Cavaliers will try to make it 10 wins in a row when they meet the Hawks in Atlanta tonight. 7:30 tip. You can hear it right here. Hawks just 4-16, but one of those wins was a two-point decision over the Cavs earlier this season. Again, 7:30 tip tonight. Cavs home to the Memphis Grizzlies, who've dropped 9 in a row now on Saturday night, the Cavs and Grizzlies at the Q. College ball, Cleveland State a 75-72 winner over Arkansas State. Vikings are now 2-4. For the first time in 10 months, Tiger Woods will play competitive golf today when he tees off in the Hero World Challenge in the Bahamas. Woods, who is coming off of his fourth back surgery, says,
as my back improved, I've been able to start sleeping again because I don't have the nerve pain going down my leg. I don't have my leg twitching all over the place. I don't have these issues anymore. So, yeah, I'm loving life now.
Tiger will tee off just after noon today. Baseball, Yankees still looking for a manager. Yesterday they met with Carlos Beltran. Former Indian skipper Eric Wedge is one of the candidates they have already spoken to. Home of the Indians and the Cavs, Mike Snyder, News Radio, WTAM 1100.
If war comes, make no mistake, the North Korean regime will be utterly destroyed.
Our Ambassador Nikki Haley at the UN yesterday, as we witnessed another missile launch by the North. Bill Zimfer in this morning to give me some analysis of this. Bill, good morning. What are they saying about what they did?
I'll tell you what, and here we go again, Bill. Yeah, the UN Security Council met yesterday. You heard the words there of Nikki Haley. North Korea is really basking in the glow of this latest missile test. They have released some video and pictures of the missile and the launch vehicle involved. And all the analysts say, wow, this is the real deal. And this shows that North Korea is making progress in their nuclear program and gets ever closer to the ability to launch an intercontinental ballistic missile. Now, we're also hearing from Russia today, Bill. Sergey Lavrov, their foreign minister, had some harsh words saying that the United States is deliberately provoking North Korea to take desperate moves. And he says Russia needs to know if the U.S. is just looking for a reason to destroy North Korea, because if we are, they want to know about it so they can make preparations. And Russia also says sanctions have been exhausted with North Korea. Of course, both North Korea or Russia and China have suggested dialogue is the only way out of this.
Speaking of China, President Trump got on the phone yesterday with him, I think, after this missile went up, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He talked to President Xi of China and once again said to President Xi that what needs to happen is to turn off the oil tap to North Korea. China has been very reluctant to do that for fear that hundreds of thousands of refugees will just come streaming across the border into China.
All right, Bill Zimfer on the latest this morning. Good stuff. Bill, thanks.
Yep.
Christmas groove time for a great cause. Number one, we'll get you in the real spirit of Christmas with the concert. But number two, we're going to help raise some money for Building Hope in the City. Now, Christmas Groove is a free concert, as it has been for years. And historically, what an event Christmas Groove has been. The groove has become an annual tradition for families around Northeast Ohio. The first Groove concert took place back in 2004. It has grown every year. And this year, they've even added a show that'll be at Grace Church, Middleburg Heights. And every year there's a different ministry, a different cause that's helped, if you will, by the group. And this year it's Building Hope in the City. Brian Upton's the executive director, kind enough to join me for a few minutes about Building Hope in the City. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning.
Tell me about Building Hope in the City. What do you do?
Yeah, we are a Christian mission organization here in Cleveland focused on the renewal of our city. We want to reach every neighborhood and every community we can with the good news of Jesus and the tangible hope that his people can provide.
We celebrate his birth in a few weeks. You talk about renewal. I mean, Cleveland, you know, parts of it been going through a physical renewal, if you will, but as well in the heart. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, definitely. And then there are, you know, those neighborhoods and areas that, you know, don't get the attention, where there are still some hurting folks and some places where the church could be. And I think the Lord is providing us an opportunity to do work that sees people's lives transformed. For us here at Building Hope, that takes a couple different shapes. We consider ourselves kind of a research and development organization where we're trying to lead and network with Christians to tackle, you know, some of the big issues in our city. So refugee and immigrant resettlement, that's one thing that we're really known for here in town. Well, God is sending refugees to our city. How can we, as the body of Christ, welcome them? We just launched into housing redevelopment and looking at the foreclosed housing crisis, which is still very active here in Cleveland. How can we, as the body of Christ, repurpose these homes in neighborhoods so that they can become flourishing again and become affordable places for folks to live. At-risk youth, tutoring and literacy, assisting families with their dreams of getting out of poverty and achieving the goals they have for themselves, and then supporting new urban churches. We've got 8 planters right now who work with us for mentoring and coaching who are planting new churches in the city.
My goodness. How long has Building Hope in the City been around, Brian?
We were formed in 2003.
Mm-hmm. And my goodness, the work that has been done or, you know, obviously needs to continue. A couple questions. You mentioned the refugees. It is interesting. I think maybe we take it for granted sometimes about that particular population in our city. So many times they're literally dropped off maybe by some agency. Here's Cleveland. Go find a home. Go find a life. And you need help doing that.
Yeah, so our government does offer typically, you know, 6-9 months of resettlement support where they arrive here and have a case manager, but that does end for the vast majority of refugees within 1 year. And our goal at Building Hope is that we want the church to be at that next step, that after a refugee has arrived here and their family is beginning to integrate, that they come in contact with the church and with Christians for continued support and integration into the community.
Brian Upton at Building Hope in the City, the beneficiaries of the Christmas Groove this year. It is a fun, fun concert. You'll have fun. And again, they added a show 7 o'clock tonight, as well as 7 o'clock Friday, 2 on Saturday, 3 and 7 o'clock, Grace Church, Middleburg Heights. Free event, but you will have a blast. They do a great job. And then just pass the hat, and we'll raise a lot of money for Building Hope. Thanks for doing it and being there. Hope you get a chance to see the Groove. Might see you. News Radio WTAM 1100. This is Bill Wills. Came across a great piece. John Matarese, or Don't Waste Your Money and Don't Waste Your Identity, by the way. Consumer Guy over News Channel 5 posted on home security cameras. John, good morning. You know, I've even done stories recently about these porch pirates. You got to be careful how many packages are being dropped off. You've got Wi-Fi in your house. You got baby monitors. You posted a heck of a story where people are hacking into these things, right?
Yeah, people are. That's the thing. You know, we keep hearing about the porch pirates. These are the people that are going to come down your neighborhood, your street, after Amazon delivers a package or FedEx or UPS, and they're going to grab that package. You think you have an iPad coming from Black Friday, and somebody pulls that iPad right off your porch. So a lot of people the past 2 years have purchased those home security kits. I mean, you can get them now for next to nothing. They're Wi-Fi. You don't have to wire the house. You just buy some of them. You just walk into Best Buy. You walk into Walmart or Target. They sell these Wi-Fi cameras, the video doorbells, and everyone thinks, okay, this is great. I've got cameras all around. If you have a baby, you have a baby monitor. But the problem is we just set them up, and we don't take any security steps.
When I looked at your story, you posted a couple of different people, including Melissa Sams, who was really concerned because in one of the cases, people hacked in and they posted pictures of a baby online.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. This actually happened a couple of years ago in Houston, Texas. But this woman heard about it and she said, that's it. I unplugged my baby monitors and stopped using them because it was this story out of Houston was amazing where people were able to watch a baby sleep. All over the world, they were able to watch this baby rolling around in its crib. And that's frightening if you have a child. It turns out there is a simple fix, though, Bill, because we buy these devices and we just set them up with the default passwords. That's the biggest thing, the default passwords, which is typically 12345 on a lot of these scammer systems. And with the default password, anyone can look at it. There's actually some Russian websites that show tens of thousands of unsecured video feeds all around the world because people are broadcasting. You're broadcasting to your smartphone. Well, for it to get to your smartphone, it has to go to the cloud. And if you don't have a password on it, anyone can look at your home security camera or your baby monitor.
So look carefully at what your password is, your encryption. Go back and update the router. Make sure you got the latest on there.
Exactly.
And the hard drive
change
as well.
That password.
Good story.
Change
all right.
The password.
John Matarese on it. You can see more at news5cleveland.com. Thanks, John.
Great talking to you.
News Radio WTAM 1100. This is Bill Wills. Let's talk some beer. Our buddy Mark Bona, Cleveland Plain Dealer, cleveland.com is in. Morning, pal.
Hey, Bill.
There's a Winter Warmer Fest coming up. I want to get to that, but I always enjoy these visits. And look, I will admit, I am not beer guy. I occasionally have one. Matter of fact, quick story. I normally will have Mexican food once in a while. And the other night, literally, we were at a Mexican restaurant. I said, you know, let me have a beer with this. So I ordered a Miller Lite. The lady kind of looked at me. I think I was the only guy there not ordering some kind of an ale. She's like, really? Miller? Yeah, just something light, you know. But yeah, you know,
drink what you like.
Yeah, there's a beer out there for you. But I thought of you because I'm like Bona would say, wait, time out, Bill. Try something different tonight. But Mark has put together just some things to think about when it comes to beer. And I mentioned the ales, and we've talked about so many. So maybe an idea. You got some time? Do a little ale test, right?
Yeah, a few things to kind of approach beer as we really near the holidays and the end of the year. You know, for one thing, you hear a lot about the Christmas ales that are out now. They really are only out of the market, ballpark, the local ones in distribution for about 8 weeks. They may linger on the shelves a little bit more. But a really fun thing to do is you don't have to wait for a formal tasting at a bar or a restaurant. Do your own Christmas ale taste test. Now, the two that are not only very popular, but very, very close in flavor and flavor profile and taste are Thirsty Dog's 12 Dogs of Christmas and, of course, Great Lakes Brewing Company's Christmas Ale. This would be fun. You get a couple of six-packs, invite some people over, do a blind taste test. You can have a pal who's not drinking either use the same style and cup. Maybe everything is one beer is a number one and the other beer is a number two.
Right.
That's the easiest way to do it. Or you can tape them in brown bags. That takes more time. But it's just kind of a fun thing to try. So that's one thing I would suggest is kind of a, like, you know, you and I were talking, I think I kind of call this a reverse New Year's resolution. Here's, you know, things to do with beer before the end of the year. So you can do your own Christmas ale taste test. Another thing to do is if there's a beer out there that you really haven't tried all year and it's on the shelf now, go ahead and give it a shot. A great example would be one of the really big Imperial Stouts or a barrel-aged beer.
Oh, yeah.
There's a ton of them in this area. This is a perfect time for that style, and there's a lot of venues to do this. And most importantly, you don't really want to take a flyer on one of these if you haven't had it, unless you want to and you've got a buddy or two and you want to share it with them. But, you know, you could go to Thirsty Dog in the Flats and try samples of more than a dozen there. They've got about three dozen taps going, many of which are barrel-aged and imperial stouts. Hop and Frog is now out with 12-ounce bottles. These are not only good gifts, but they really are good this time of year. Try something there. So that would be my second option. A third thing you can do is this is a time for sampler packs. You walk into any grocery store right now, you're going to find variety packs, seasonal beers, porters, ales, stouts, tons of Christmas style type of ales, and that's a very wide ranging style. Sam Adams always has a variety pack out this year. I really like the Belgian ales that are out. Some of these are maybe only two or three bottles. They even give you a special chalice or a glass with it. It's a nice gift for someone, or you can buy it for yourself. World Market usually has great sample boxes. And of course, Omegang out of Cooperstown, New York, probably my favorite out-of-state brewery, always has great samplers this time of year. They have if you haven't gotten around to trying the Game of Thrones beers, it's a wonderful Belgian golden ale, perfect this time of year. I love it.
Good idea.
And then finally, I would say if you need a shopping break, what I would do, especially if you're like me and you enjoy giving gifts, but you don't necessarily enjoy driving out and about and dealing with crowds and lines, give yourself a little present at the end of the day. If you know you're going to be in a certain part of town shopping, do a little research before you leave. Find out what brewery is nearby. And maybe hit that up as kind of a pint or maybe a couple samples of something, maybe a brewery you haven't been to. They're obviously all over and many of them are close to busy commercial areas. So it's worth doing and give yourself a little treat when you've been shopping for others.
So many of them are destinations now too. I mean, just to experience. So in other words, you're saying, Wills, there's more out there than Miller Lite. Try something different, right? Is that that's what I'm getting?
I am, but I also say I'll cop out on it, Bill, and say, you know what? Drink what you like. But there are a lot of good options.
All right. Next year, we got an event, 12th Annual Winter Warmer Fest, Saturday, March 3rd. You got some info up at cleveland.com on the early bird info. This is a big deal with the Ohio Craft Brewers Association, right?
Yeah, this is a fundraiser for the OCBA. The Ohio Craft Brewers Association is a nonprofit group that is really the umbrella organization for, not, I don't think every single brewery in the state, but many of them.
Yeah.
They, under Mary McDonald's guidance and leadership in the past several years, they've really grown and do a great job. She has a lot of respect. And this is by far, I think, if I had to choose just one fest to go to, this is it. And the reason why I like it so much is because it's very difficult for brewers to show up at Beer Fest. I know people would like to see them there, and I know brewers want to show up, but they can't because they work so many hours and they have so many options on the weekends, and they have family commitments, of course. But this one is really by far the best one because the brewers show up and they don't serve the beer. There's a little bit of a very odd, nebulous state law that restricts them from serving their own beer. I don't fully understand it. I'll be the first to admit that. But it's fun for them because they can mingle around. They can talk with people. They'll answer questions. They love meeting beer drinkers. They love trying other beers. And so it's a lot of fun. This is coming up in March. And as you mentioned, Bill, there's an early bird ticket discount in play right now. So if you buy tickets by this year, by the end of the year, by December 31st, you'll get $10 off the admission. I've got a story in Cleveland.com that has all the admission details and the price and the time and all of that. But I'll be there. It's a lot of fun. I love running into the brewers and other beer drinkers as well.
Good stuff. Coming up in March, find out more at Cleveland.com. Also, follow Mark on Twitter, mbona30, talking about beer and a lot of the great events. Mark Bona, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. Thanks, Mark. Best team coverage of the Browns, News Radio, WTAM, 1100. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside every Thursday. Dave Wollebach, kind enough to join us. Former Browns center, played 9 seasons in the National Football League. Now calls Northeast Ohio home. Dave, good morning, pal. Good
morning, guys. How are you?
Good. How's your Christmas shopping going, by the way?
It is off to a slow start, but I think I'm looking to finish strong here. So.
A slow start. We have a list.
That's the way I do it every year, Dave.
Most guys, right?
Yeah, make a strong finish.
Strong. Mentally, we kind of know what we want to do, but we just haven't done it yet. Right, Dave?
Right. It's all about execution at the end of the day, right? So as long as you get it done, we're good.
It's not even December yet.
That's right. Put it off.
That's right.
Put it off. All right. Browns at Chargers on Sunday. 4 o'clock game, first of all. Hey, just let me ask you this. You played in the league for years. Going to the coast, your body, your time, everything kind of gets thrown off just a bit?
Yeah, you know, it disrupts you a little bit because normally you go into the hotel and you get out of the hotel, you know, you're eating breakfast at 10 o'clock in the morning and then you're heading over to the stadium. You know, and you get there, and by the way, you're in Northeast Ohio, so it's colder out, so you're looking at layers of clothes, and then you're going to go out to the West Coast. The game's going to be pushed back. It's going to be warmer weather. There's a lot of things that play into it. So I think that's, you know, it's not a huge, huge distraction, but it definitely impacts the game a little bit.
David, I've kind of put it this way. It's almost been a diversion from all the losing, the return of Josh Gordon, as we've talked about him, and seems the Browns are talking about him and fielding questions about him every day. What are your thoughts about Gordon, and how much do you think, we is as gifted as he is, how much can you really expect from a guy that hasn't played in almost 3 years in a NFL game?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. I think you talk about an early Christmas present. I think that's kind of how the Browns are viewing this one right now, getting him back. You know, I think when you look at him as a skilled, athletic guy, he's going to bring something to the table that people are going to have to look at and watch and be aware of. But at the end of the day, you know, what have we lacked? Has it been bad decisions by Kaiser? Has it been lack of time in the pocket? I mean, those things are not going to change whether it's Gordon or not. So I think what, you know, how he could impact the game is if they use him very wisely, they do a lot of crossing routes and get him into space. Because I think, you know, one, we're looking at Bosa and Ingram as rushers on the defense. And by the way, I think Bosa is like tied for the league lead in sacks right now. We don't want to have a Kaiser in the pocket patting the ball, looking downfield, trying to figure out where he's going to throw it. You want to get him into a rhythm and see, one, if Josh can catch it, and two, keep Kaiser, you know, upright and clean.
Speaking of that, Spencer Drango's name has not been said a lot since he's moved in and has, well, played left tackle. I won't say replace, but is playing left tackle now that Joe Thomas is out. What are your thoughts about the way he's handled it so far?
You know, I think he's done an okay job. This is going to be a big, big, big test for him, I think, this week. One, because I think the Browns are excited to have Josh back. They want to see what he can do and how he can impact the game. So they're going to want to throw the ball, but at the same time, again, as I just said, the Chargers have a good pass rush. So I think he's done a pretty good job. This is a good test against him, but I think they can make him look really, really bad if they don't give him a little bit of help. They give him some backs chipping out of the backfield. Because there's been some times, and everybody has times when they're playing, I don't care who you are, you're going to get beat. You're going to get, you're going to stop your feet or bend at the waist or whatever, give up some pressure. But when you're going against very talented pass rushers, you don't want that to happen 2, 3, 4 times in a row in a game. And next thing, that just shifts the whole momentum. So I think that's going to be a key matchup, I think, this weekend, is just watching Spencer versus defensive end, see how he does.
Yeah, Dave, I don't see this as the week where the losing ends, where they get that first win. But as you mentioned then with Gordon, you'd like to see him maybe some quick throws, maybe some little slants, let Gordon get the ball and let some of his athleticism maybe make a big play. Is that what you're saying?
I think that's exactly what they have to do. I mean, you look at some of the teams like, Philadelphia right now, their efficiency on offense, we've talked about in the past. They do a lot of crossing routes. They do a lot of swing passes to backs. They do a lot of off-tackle runs, but they're up-tempo, and they're kind of intermediate in length. They're not, trying to run the ball, throw it 40 yards downfield, and that's what Bruce Arians, when he was here, when he was in Indianapolis, and even with the Cardinals, does the same thing, is he tries to set up, intermediate passes by running the ball, and then he's going to take his opportunities on play action on deep passes, maybe once a quarter, maybe twice a half, depending on how the situation flows. I think that's what they need to do, is get him into a rhythm, let the guy start catching the ball. Because look at last week. When Kizer played a pretty decent game, we've seen continuous progress with him. But we had guys dropping balls a little bit. There's a catch in the end zone, should have been caught. There's things that you could look at and say, we were very, very close to winning that game. And you can't necessarily throw that one on the quarterback as much as you had been able to earlier in the year.
Browns coming off a 30-16 loss. Dave Woolabaugh on the Browns, WTAM 1100, best team coverage of the Browns. We'll catch up next Thursday. I expect you to have some more shopping done by then, okay?
I will have an update for you.
All right, thanks, Dave. Be good. Complete Cavaliers coverage on News Radio, WTAM 1100. Our morning Cavs update with John Michael, brought to you by Levin Furniture, the preferred home furniture and mattress supplier to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Morning, John.
Morning, guys.
Okay, Atlanta tonight. Mike and I were just talking about this, and we played a cut from LeBron where he put a little post out saying, hey, we don't have all our guys, and we're doing okay. That loss to Atlanta, I think, woke everybody up and worried us a lot as fans, I think.
Well, it was one of the losses, I think, that woke everybody up. I agree. And, that happened to the Cavaliers over the first couple of games. You look back to some of the losses. I mean, the Cavs lost to both New York teams, lost to Orlando, which is, I think, right now riding a 9-game losing streak, and an Atlanta team that was missing a couple of guys. So, nice to see the team bounce back. I think that game in New York was really a turnaround game. I mean, the Cavs were down by 23. They were in jeopardy of losing to the Knicks for a second time in the season early, and they roared back from behind. Dwayne Wade grabbed a big offensive rebound late in the game to preserve the win, and the Cavs really went from there. So we're talking about 9 straight right now, and I think the way they've been doing it has been impressive. I mean, you look back this week, they ran a young bunch of 76ers off the floor. I mean, they ran them right out of their own building. The Sixers had won 3 straight games. This is the up-and-coming season for that young bunch, and they didn't have a prayer that night. And then the Cavs on the tail end of a back-to-back on Tuesday come back and completely overwhelm the Heat. I mean, they were up 75-49 against a team that's given them trouble over the last couple of seasons and a team that was resting and lying in wait. So, yeah, the Cavs, a lot's been made about the average age of the Cavaliers. They were the oldest team coming into the season. Yeah, they have a couple of guys later in their career, but they have a lot of them, and they're coming off the bench. They're coming in waves, and it's been fun. I mean, this stretch has been a real nice stretch for the Cavaliers, the way they've bounced back and the way that they've been winning games as of late. Hopefully they can keep it rolling in Atlanta tonight as they look for their 10th straight.
John, you just used a word I was going to reference in my comment, that fun. Wade used the comment. I think when you guys when you and Jim interviewed him after a game, Channing Frye brought up the same result, the same aspect to it. And really, with basketball, you can see everybody's emotions. They look like they're having a good time out there right now.
You're right, and that's really struck me with Wade. And Mike, think about how different that is from so many situations in the NBA. And Eric Spoelstra alluded to it. He said, look, we're talking about a multiple-year, 10-time All-Star who's willing to come off the bench. And why are the Cavaliers playing so well right now? Because that bench is killing everybody. And Dwayne Wade's a huge part of that. I mean, think back to the third quarter in the Miami game. LeBron gets ejected. Things are starting to go sideways a little bit. Who restored order? It was Dwayne Wade. You know, give me the ball, settle things down. Cavaliers were back in the saddle going into the fourth quarter. So I agree with you, Mike. He's having fun. That bench, which over the last three seasons, scoring-wise, ranked 28th, 28th, and 30th out of 30 teams, is fifth right now in scoring, 40 points a game. They're having fun. And like I said, it's the veterans. It's the older guys. I mean, it's Wade. It's Fry coming off that bench. Green, Korver, all veterans, all guys who have been around, and all guys who are running younger teams right now over the last couple of weeks. So it's been beautiful to watch. It's been fun to watch. You're exactly right.
John, how stunned were you when you saw that LeBron actually got tossed the other night?
Mike, I wanted an explanation. You know, I mean, you guys have heard, I rarely get on officials, ever, you know, and I thought, well, there must be something. I want to hear it. You know, I reserve judgment until I wanted to hear what the explanation by Kane Fitzgerald was, and after I heard it, the ejection is ridiculous, even more ridiculous than it was at the time. I mean, there was no reason that he should have been double-teched. I mean, every single thing that Kane Fitzgerald described is what goes into a normal technical foul. Yeah, LeBron had some words for him. He went at him. He gestured to him. That's a technical. It's not a double technical. Nothing that he described rose to the level of kicking a player out for what LeBron did. They asked him, well, did he do something before? He said, no. It was all that one act. I mean, and like I said, it was only one act. You know, those kind of ejections are reserved for when you kick the ball in the stands or something else. But I thought it was ridiculous at the time. Didn't say it at the time, but after I heard the explanation, I think is equally, if not more, ridiculous. And so what? Cavs won the game. He gets ejected. He's back tonight, and off we go.
Cavs Hawks tonight, 7 o'clock. 7:30, they'll tip it off in Atlanta. Window Nation Cavs now at 6:30 on News Radio WTAM 1100, home of the Cavaliers. John Michael, thanks, pal.
Thanks, guys.